conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Vin Scully dead at the age of 94.
Do you think people are going to be remember you as fondly as Vin Scully when you go? When are you going? When did Gilbert say you're out of here?
2032. Anyway.
Okay, that's right. He does every.
He does a 10-year thing.
He puts a 10-year on you.
Yeah. Right. You only got five left. So.
Yeah. Yeah. He told me in 17, 27 is when I go.
I think he gives you. That's it. Once you ask Gilbert, you get 10 years.
You get 10 years. Don't ask questions you don't want to know.
So Gilbert came on and he had a brush with greatness. He flew to L.A. when he was 12 years old for a wedding and he heard Vin Scully on the radio anyway.
He said, "I've got a story for you."
Yeah.
And then his story was he heard Vin Scully on the radio.
Right. Right.
That,
so
and then he went to Disneyland.
And then you served Akeem Olajuwon at a restaurant.
I gave him a sweet potato pecan pie with MVP that I hand-wrote on it.
Was arrested. And then something else had somebody. Oh, Stephen A. Smith. Gilbert had the greatest brush.
What's your brush with greatness?
Well, okay, at the Texans game one time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm standing in line. The food before the Texans game, you know, they got the food thing there, and I'm standing in line, and I'm right behind Harry Callis. Mm-hmm. It was an Eagles game, and Harry Callis is calling the game,
mm-hmm.
and he said, "The lasagna looks delicious."
Harry Callis was alive at a Texans game?
Yeah. Harry Callis was absolutely, and. It was early on. It was early.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 20 years ago. Harry Callis hasn't been dead that long.
How long has he been dead? 2009.
Yeah.
I thought it was earlier than
that. No. And he said, "The lasagna looks delicious." And that was my brush with greatness.
I had
to get the lasagna then. Going to get the lasagna until Harry Callis said that.
That is a brush. I'll never forget that I was... I had to go to Sugarland for something. I was on the show. Me and you were hosting
at
610.
You were at a gas station, and the dream pulled up.
That's right. And so I was at a gas station doing something, only this time.
I thought that was your
dream
story.
This time it was not my sweet. No, this time it wasn't sweet potato pecan pie. It was like, I'm on the radio. Yeah, I made it. Okay? Dream. So I called, but I remember I was off.
You were off.
I was either off on vacation or I had to leave early to go do something there. And I called up and I said, "Hey, I've got Akeem Olajuwon here at the gas station. You want me to try to get him on?" And you go, "Yeah." So I say, "Mr. Olajuwon, hey, I'm this, I served you at, when I was a waiter, whatever." Anyway.
And you never got me those tickets.
You didn't give me those tickets, but whatever. "Hey, I do a radio show now. Can I get you on with my co-host?" "No, I'm pumping gas." And then, okay.
All right.
Brush with greatness, John. Back to you.
That was a better story than your pecan pie.
"No, I'm pumping gas." "Okay, back to you, John."
That was a much better. Because Gilbert's was he turned on the radio and he heard Vin Scully. We need more of that.
Here's another one for you. I'm standing in line.
More of that.
I'm standing in line at LAX to get on a flight to go back to Houston. And I notice there's a guy in front of me who's talking on his phone out loud with FaceTime on. No earbuds, you know, he's just talking out loud, FaceTime. I noticed there's a person, you know, on the screen, it's FaceTime. And then I noticed that person is DJ Khaled. And I'm like, who the hell is talking to DJ Khaled on FaceTime? As we sit in a line, boarding group one, as we sit in a line waiting to get on, and I look and it's Scarface. And so I talked a little bit about Scarface, about his little league football team that he kind of runs.
Yeah. I see him all the time, Wildcat. He's a big golfer.
So there's like a mini one. I ran into, it doesn't really count, but Willie D was at Riel hanging out with Ryan after hours having some drinks. So for me, that was pretty cool. There's a couple ghetto boys. We got a picture of Bushwick Bill pour some out wearing a John, Lance, Raheel, and Dell t-shirt at an event. He came to Prime Social. For some reason, Bushwick, before he passed away, was at Prime Social getting...
Thank God it was before he passed away.
ESPN, right. ESPN 97.5 free gear.
Right.
Free merch from the table. Like, Bushwick, what are you doing with that koozie in your hand?
Hey, put the shirt on.
Our shirt on. Put the shirt on. We're going to take a picture.
Big D's got a brush with greatness. What's your brush with greatness, Big D?
Okay.
Biggie
from Beaumont. Hello, you guys. My neighbor blessed me with tickets to this Frozen Red Sox ALCS, great seats, six row between home plate. And we meet Petita, real nice guy, not my brush of greatness. And then we meet Adrian Peterson. My brush with greatness was the chick that he was with. The most beautiful woman I've ever seen in person. Oh, my God.
That's your brush with greatness.
But when you remember that, when a girl's so beautiful that you never – that your meeting with Adrian Peterson is remembered as that girl he was with, that's when it's different.
That is different.
That's when it's different.
I remember the most beautiful girl I ever met. It was in Lafayette, Louisiana.
Oh. And
then I ended up marrying her.
So we can't get anything out of you now other than getting drunk.
Where's
Richard? I love how you try to act like you didn't have a life before, like the, what was that, early 90s?
Yeah.
When you moved there?
Yeah.
Is that when your life started, or is that when your
late
life
80s.
In late 80s, or is that when your life in witness protection started?
That's when my life I witness protection. I'm on the radio every day.
John Grant. You were literally in Louisiana as John Grant.
I was. Richard, what's your brush with greatness?
Hey, yeah, no, this one happened here in Houston. I was out walking with my wife at the Discovery Green, and we're going by One Park Place, those luxury apartments, and out comes Paul Wall, and I'm like, hey, Paul Wall, what's up? And he's like, what's up, man? And then he got in his car and left.
That's perfect.
That's a brush.
That's a great
That's a
brush. That's a brush.
That's a brush.
I mean, not as good as Gilbert's.
He still
Gilbert
got brushed.
Gilbert heard Vin Scully on the radio. That was it's still not, but you're right there.
But he still got brushed with greatness from Paul Wall, baby.
That's right. Paul Wall said, hey, baby, what's up? And then he got in his car and left. That was perfect.
Here's one from KMFG. 1993, Houston Astrodome, Tejano Day at the Rodeo. Enough said. Brush with greatness. I don't get that. How is that a brush with greatness?
Mm-hmm.
That it's just Tejano Day because he's around the Tejanos and
it's just
like his greatness.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe that's what he means.
That sounds like a Gilbert brush with greatness.
I saw Paul Wall is pretty. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Hey. Oh, I also know the three guys who Paul Wall name checks and sitting sideways. I guess this is kind of Big Bank Hank. Kevin Starks, Box, Don Solomon, and Papa Joe. That would be Forrest Greenwood. I know all those guys from Lamar Consolidated High School. We all went to high school together.
Mm.
So the three guys that Paul Wall shouts out in, you may have to come back with that, RJ, sitting sideways, Paul Wall, where he talks about Big Bank Hank, Papa Joe, and Box. I know those guys. It's kind of a brush. Of a brush with greatness.
Did you just out those guys because?
Well, that's their nickname.
I mean, because like you just said, who Batman is? You know?
No,
I don't think so.
I don't
Superman,
think I did.
You just took Superman's cape off.
That's how I know him. That's like how somebody would have known Cassius Clay as Cassius Clay. How they would have known Shaquille Leonard as Darius Leonard. I knew him when he was Darius.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all did.
Mm-hmm. Riding a school bus on Richmond by ABC 13, looked down at a white convertible, and a sans wig Marvin Zindler was driving it.
That's a brush.
Because not many people saw Marvin Zindler without
that
wig.
That's a brush with greatness.
I can tell you that. 713-780.
I bet it was horrific.
3776, the number, if you'd like to hang with us here on the show. I got to talk. We got a full board. We'll get all you guys in with your brushes with greatness. On the other side. But right now, we got the Morley Law Firm. Morley Law. Morley Law.com. It's the place to go. I go to the website, and the experience that they have, the amount of stuff that they do, it is unbelievable. All the cases that they handle. It is a premier law firm here in the city of Houston with innumerable. Well, I guess you could put a number on the number of lawyers they have. But they also, you know, if you've got a case that they don't have expertise in or whatever, they will make sure that they guide you to the perfect place for that. Now, they have expertise in a lot of stuff. No matter what it is, they've got it for you. And listen, it's so easy. You give them a call. Make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955. And explain what your problem is. And they will tell you whether or not you have a case. And in some cases, you know, you just don't have a case and there's nothing they can do about it. But in a lot of cases, they do. And, you know, if you have the right to some money, and you want, need to sue somebody to get that money back or for them to pay you money that they owe you, then in a lot of cases, you're not going to pay the Morley Law Firm until you win that case. So that's awesome, too. But listen, you get your free evaluation from the Morley Law Firm in most cases, and it is, and you're off and running. Find out for yourself. If you've got an issue, no matter what it is, say habla español as well, all you got to do is go make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955 or morleylaw.com.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.
This is just the instrumental, so you're not going to hear the lyrics I was talking about. But this is an old school song, so you guys know it anyway. Right there, he would have jumped in.
Not everybody. Not everybody knows that. 713-780.
You should know it if you're in Houston this long. Just go bring up the song. Bring up the real song so John knows it. Bring up the real song at some point.
We gotta
play it in the background of... You know what?
Kenny, come on in here.
Play the instrumental in the background right now of all these famous ones. You could just this one, the same one you were just playing, Sitting Sideways, Paul Wall. We'll play that underneath in the background, and we'll do some brushes with greatness.
Kenny, we're going to get some...
What's his brush with greatness? He saw
Lance
Forrest McCullers. Whitley pitch an inning?
Forrest Whitley never pitches.
All right, so we do need to mention this.
Yeah, Lance McCullers pitched last night. Kenny was there, so let's get an update on what Kenny saw last night. You know he was there for Keuchel versus McCullers. I mean,
man, that was so 2017. It was even 2015.
15.
Keuchel versus McCullers. That was your number one and number two in 15.
Mm-hmm. So what'd you see last night?
Yeah, it was some struggles early. Or I mean, I guess later into his start, the fourth inning kind of got away from him. And he mentioned that he said he felt like he was getting a little cute with it in the fourth inning. I think he was, you know, testing out some other pitches. But he said his two-seamer isn't there yet. It's not coming out the right way that he was hoping to, but curveball looked good. He got 8 swing and misses. I think him and Keuchel both had 8. Keuchel had an even better outing, went 4 scoreless innings. Just vintage Keuchel in that sense. I know it's against minor leaguers, but you know he looked good. But I guess there's going to be like another start. The consensus is that Sunday is when Lance is going to pitch again. He didn't actually say what day, but Sunday is going to be either a bullpen day or his last start before he's supposed to come back.
What did you think of?
He had 76 pitches, by the way, 43 for strikes, 3 walks.
Mm-hmm.
He went 3 1/3. That's the most innings. That's the most pitches. Did give up 3 hits, as you mentioned, 3 runs, 200 runs, 3 walks. So he had to work a little bit. He's not where he needs to be yet. What was the velocity? Did they have velocity there on the fastball? Did you notice?
Yeah, his sinker got up to like what 94.9, so 95 miles an hour is what he touched. And he was sitting 93.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And it feels like every, I guess the last two starts you've had the baseball savant, so you get to see what pitches he's throwing, and it picks it up differently. So sometimes I'll pick it up as a fastball or not, but. It feels like each start, it's like a different pitch is coming out more.
What did you think about, first of all, what about Abreu, giving up him in the trades?
Willy Abreu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think Emmanuel Valdez was the guy that I was more in support of for this, or I guess, for the future of the franchise. But I liked Willy Abreu. Walk machine, I don't know if you guys know that, but he had more walks than strikeouts. At one point, he had more walks than games played. At the start of the season.
That's insane.
So there really just wasn't a spot on the team. I was looking it up today, and the roster limit for AAA is 28 players. And after the options yesterday, they're to 29. There's probably going to be some more roster moves at some point, but there was just no spot for Willy Abreu in AAA this year. And he's Rule 5 eligible, so it's rather they get him out of the system for like another player than just let him be taken away in the 5 draft.
Yeah. And what did you think of the trades?
Yeah. I think. They were pretty. There wasn't like any aggressive moves that I was really expecting. I know we talked about Josh Bell a few times. I know you liked Wilson Contreras, but Trey Mancini's a safe bet. You know, mutual option in 2023 with Yuli Gurriel off the books. You know, that's a good deal to have another first baseman. I don't think Christian Vasquez is returning. I don't really think that's the plan. I think they just need him for this 1 year as a veteran backup, especially with Jason Castro out for the season. And the future is Corey Lee and Yainer Diaz, and those two guys will be up next year at some point. But I think that's the backup you need. I think the Will Smith one was a pretty meh trade. I don't you see that and you're like, why do that? But I think the Astros saw something Will Smith that they can adjust in his own arsenal.
They get Odorizzi out of the because it would have been a problem.
It is interesting though that if the Astros really got aggressive, they could decide to keep Vasquez and maybe move Corey Lee for another piece if they wanted to. That's one way they could approach it. But with a likely opt out for Verlander, and frankly, if his agent doesn't shoot at $40 million a year, I don't know what he's doing, because the season he's having is insane, and you already have somebody making $43 million on the books as the richest pitcher. More than likely, two-year deal, 80. I don't think 80-plus million. If that's going to be the case, probably go cheaper at catcher. That's probably, you're probably right on that one, Kenny. The Astros minor league system in general, before we get out of here, Kenny follows he's followed the Astros minor league system closely and writes for Sports Illustrated now. But the Astros minor league system in general, like, how would you grade it on a scale of 1 to 5? If I said 1 to 5 and you can use point fives also, where would you use the Astros? Where would you rank their?
We'll go 1 to 10 with no points.
Triple A, 1 to 5 with a point five. You got high A, double A, triple A. What you know in terms of their highest rated prospects, how would you rank them?
So if I go all four, like major, like I guess four affiliates, it's tough. I think I would boost 3.5. But once you see like these college draftees get, you know, pushed into the system, only one player has been assigned to one of the affiliates, Colin Price, who's the 6th round pick. He had a hit in his first at bat. He's a catcher in single A, but I would say 3.5.
Wow, you're higher than Keith Law would give it to.
Yeah, well, Keith Law hates the Astros.
He does.
Yeah, so that's a pretty biased take from him. But I would say 3.5. I think the draft that James Click had, he signed 20 of the 21 draftees that he had. And bringing in a bunch of college guys is going to get players to the majors sooner. So the system is on the upswing. And, you know, this is his first real draft, because the last 2 years he didn't have first or second round picks because of the sign-stealing scandal, so we'll see actually how good of a draft he's actually going to have.
All right. Yeah.
All right. That's Kenny Van Doren. SI covers the Astros, mostly the minor league system, right?
No, all of it.
Now. No,
all
baseball,
of it
now?
Yeah.
All of it now?
Nice. He just happens to go to the Space
he
Cowboy
loves the
games.
Space Cowboys. He's wearing his Space Cowboy gear today. Yeah. Right. Way to go, Kenny. Way to go, Kenny.
That's why I gave him a 3.5.
That's, well, of course he did.
Because they gave him free hats.
Did you get that free, Kenny?
No.
You paid for it?
I'm
you're doing it wrong.
Not,
okay. You don't know what you're doing. God. Go to
That's
Cap
why you're
Night.
You're an intern. Learn to
go
learn
to
from
Cap
John.
Night and get
they don't
your
have
space
a Cap Night.
What are you talking about? The Space Cowboys have all kinds of giveaways.
I don't run promotions for them either. You guys are asking about promotions for the Astros.
Kenny,
I don't run either.
Let's move. Pick it up, Kenny.
Beat it, Kenny.
Let's get Bill in here. His brush with greatness. What's up, Bill?
Hey, about 10 years ago, I was in a dive bar in Laramie, Wyoming. And I was playing pool with this long-haired dude. And we played for about an hour. He won a few. I won a few. He bought me a beer. I bought him a beer. And after we got done, my son said, you know who you were playing pool with? And I said, no. And he said, hey, that was Ozzy Osbourne.
No, really? How could you understand?
Do you get a ball in hand on this pool table right here?
Did you understand anything he said?
Ball in hand.
No, but I thought he was just drunk.
That's
true.
That is, he just seems like he's drunk all the time. And
even when he's not drunk, he seems drunk.
Bill, that is a brush with greatness. There's no question. SMU Sonny. Oh, I bet. What is SMU Sonny's? Did you meet Sonny Dykes at some point?
No, I probably met Craig James or Eric Dickerson.
Yeah, at one time, Eric Dickerson almost ran him over or something. SMU Sonny, what's up?
Yeah, Eric Dickerson would run me over. All-time single season leading rusher still. I had a brush with greatness the other night. We went to the XFL Town Hall in Arlington. It was awesome. I'm pumped that we're back. They opened up the floor to questions, and The Rock, of course, was in the house. Had to get a question in. I wanted to ask him if John Granato would be back as the voice of the Houston Roughnecks. With two people to go, they stopped the question.
Oh,
damn it. Thanks for nothing, SMU Sonny.
Man.
Jerk. You had my hopes up. That The Rock said, yes, of course he would be. SMU Sonny blowing it. Get in line sooner. SMU, Sonny. Chris, what's your brush with greatness?
So I used to live in 59 in Kirby area, and this was about 15 years ago. We used to frequent a little bar. I don't know if it's still there. It's called Lizards. And I think this was like a Sunday night because there were only like five or six of us in there. And the Rockets were playing the Lakers, and, you know, Kobe was in town. But Kobe got shut down. He might have had like 9 or 10 points. And so we're all pumped up watching the game, and it's around 11 o'clock, and the door opens, and in walks this tall dude in a green Masters jacket, and it's Shane Battier. And Shane Battier shut down Kobe that night, and he was the nicest dude. He came in with his wife, so down to earth. It was really cool to see him. I'm sure you guys have probably met him before, but mm-hmm. It was really cool.
He's a great guy.
You remember?
That's right, Art. I said it. He's a great guy, and I know he's a great guy because I did talk.
Did you ever go to Bernie's Burger Bus?
I never did.
I'm sure a lot of Houstonians who are listening right now went to Bernie's Burger Bus when it was open. It was really good. Giant burgers. It was good. That Justin, if I remember correctly, his name's Justin. The guy who opened it was Shane Battier's personal chef. He started with Shane in Memphis, and then he came over here. When Shane got traded, Shane asked him to come over here, and he would cook Shane fish. He was his personal chef, and then he opened up his own burger place called Bernie's Burger Bus. When Shane left, he tried to be the personal chef for Jason White Chocolate Williams. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He said he was so basic, he would just get super stoned every day and say, "Hey, yo, can you like make me a pizza?" But he wanted Chef Boyardee sauce and Parmesan cheese. Like, it was the most basic stuff. Even when he asked, like, I said, "What else did he ask you to make?" Chicken fingers. He's like,
grilled cheese.
I said, "So stoner food?" He goes, "Yeah, that was." I didn't exactly feel like I was very creative.
Yeah.
When I was cooking for White Chocolate Jason Williams.
Hmm. My brush.
But the guy moved to Houston and started Bernie's Burger Bus.
Go Tigers says, "My brush with greatness: 15-year-old me spending the night at my best friend's house, waking to use the restroom, and walking in on my friend's mom changing. What a sight."
That's brush with greatness.
That is greatness.
It could. Well, been.
I don't know what she looked like, but apparently she was pretty good.
It could have been a brush with greatness.
8:27, Phil Garner's joining us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. We'll find out Phil Garner's brush with greatness. What brush with greatness did Phil Garner have? We will talk to him on the other side about our team. Time for you to talk about your patios, though.
Texas Custom Patios, building the very best in outdoor living spaces and outdoor kitchens. You can't beat what they do because they use the best materials. They have the best design team. They have the very best workers and contractors for every element. I don't care what it is that you're looking to do to transform your backyard. I even saw they did this mega deal in Dallas for this huge mansion. It is like this incredible infinity pool. It's got a pool house they built. It's got a patio, an outdoor kitchen. Like, they did it all. Listen, they can do small jobs like the one they did for me, or they can do larger jobs like the one I just described. It doesn't matter. They put the same care into it. They can finance anything you want to do. So if your thing is you want to get something now but pay for it later, they can do that for you as well. Get your outdoor kitchen exactly the way you want it, or you're going to end up like me, retrofitting your outdoor kitchen into the patio you haven't built. I should have just done it from the outset, but I had no idea that they were going to be even better than I expected. I expected a lot from Steven and his crew, and they really pulled through. This place is going to take your house to the next level. I promise you, live that life that you deserve. You only live once. Get something that reflects your life, that you want to, you know, live a little more enjoyable lifestyle here in Houston. They can do it for you. TexasCustomPatios.com. That's TexasCustomPatios.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
Man, I'm sure throwing up Deuce Ryan's man. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, bringing in an old friend of the show, scrap iron, Phil Garner, former Astros manager and player for years and years and years, joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Gar, what's up?
Oh, not much. How are you guys this morning?
We're doing great, man. Here's what we're doing this morning. Because Vin Scully died, one of our listeners called up and said that he went to L.A. and he listened to Vin Scully. He heard Vin Scully on the radio. So we're doing Brushes with Greatness this morning. Mine was while I was standing behind Harry Callis in a food line, and he said, "The lasagna looks delicious." So that was my brush with greatness. Is there anybody that you've met all your years, all the stars that you've been around and everything else where you were like, wow, you were starstruck? What was your brush with greatness?
Yes, Gar played with Cesar Cedeno. Yes, he had a brush with greatness.
I did, briefly. That's true. Well, as long as we're on with the great announcers, I love Harry Callis. There's no question. Everybody loved Harry Callis, that great deep voice that he had. And I actually liked him when he did the NFL shorts. I thought those things were really, really cool. But, boy, there's been some great ones over the years. And I'm drawing a blank on our L.A. announcer.
Vin
right
Scully.
Now.
Vin Scully, yeah.
Did you meet him?
Yeah. Vin, I was the All-Star 1976, and Vin Scully was emceeing the luncheon that day. And the one thing I remember, and Vince, you know what the hallmark is of the great announcers in those days were, they were larger than life, but they had no ego. And Vince Scully, you would not even know he was in the room. You heard his voice, and people sort of gravitated towards him because he had great stories. But at the luncheon that day, the one quote that I remember was, he said, "Gentlemen, enjoy this day because it's between the All-Star game and the old-timers game." And boy, was he right about that. And I brought that up to him over the years when I'd go into L.A. I said, "Man, I don't know where you got that, but boy, you were spot on." But it is true. He was a great person and really loved the man.
Yeah, Vin Scully dead at the age of 94. Phil Garner with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So the Astros bring in a couple of guys, three guys. Now, it's easier to work Will Smith in because he's a reliever and you can, you know, there's so many opportunities. But, you know, you've been attached to Yuli for six or 7 years now that Yuli's been around. They love Maldonado. As a manager, how do you work these new guys in and keep everybody happy, Gar?
Well, you might not keep everybody happy. It appears to me, I heard James Click talk last night on the game, they're still committed to Maldonado, even though, you know, his offense is woeful. Now, I'm okay with a great catcher that can handle the pitching staff, but when your club's struggling, we seem to do against the poor teams, the Athletics, the Boston Red Sox now. We've struggled here recently, and you're not scoring. You got to do something with that lineup. So you got to put some guys in there. And the bottom third of our lineup is just not pulling its weight. So you're going to have to mix some of these guys in my opinion. Now, Dusty has always been known as a player's manager. He may not do that, and we'll see. And in the end, you know, we've got a great cushion. Basically, we're talking about tough times, and we're 29 games above 500. Gee whiz, everybody would love to be 29 games above 500, and we've got a schedule that's not too difficult the rest of the way. So, but I've seen this happen. I got to say this about Gurriel. I don't think Gurriel also all of a sudden hit the age where he's not going to be able to hit anymore. And I've seen this happen, you know, through the season. The guys really struggle through the season, and he gets to the playoffs, and boom, here he comes. And, you know, he just plays out. So that could very well happen with Gurriel. I don't think it'll happen with Maldonado. I don't see him. In my opinion, he's not been a good hitter. So he's going to have to mix in Christian Vasquez, I think. you know, more, give him more playing time maybe than Mancini gets. But I imagine he's going to play Mancini some, a little bit at first, but probably some in the outfield too.
This is what's interesting. When you look at the splits on Yuli going from April to August, 605, 621, 749, 751, and now only 8 at-bats, but an 875 in August. Every month has climbed a little bit. And, Gar, it's going to be tough if Yuli all of a sudden starts getting back to 800 OPS Yuli, because you're not going to want to take him out of the lineup. He's another guy who is, I want you to talk about this, the personality of a clubhouse. We get caught up in numbers and in, you know, the statistics, but can you talk for a second about the player makeup and the way that personalities create their own kind of ecosystem and how important, or maybe it's overrated. I don't know what your opinion is, but can you talk about that, a player's personality in that locker room and what it can mean over 162 and beyond in the playoffs?
Well, there's no doubt that I think that the personality of the team, which is developed by the personality of the individual players, I think that goes a long way. There's never been a team I've been associated with or that I've known that wins, that gets into the playoffs, that they won't say, we've got great camaraderie here, we've got great chemistry, if you will. So that's and also described as team personality. I think that Gurriel, and you're right, right now it would be a mistake just to look at his average, because he's not going to get his average well up there. It's too many plate appearances. But what he can do is he can have a really good couple of months here and finish off really strong. But what I've also known over the years is that people like Yuli realize that there's a higher goal, and that is you fit together on a team. It's not always just about you. And if Mancini gets in and starts hitting the ball, I don't think you won't see Gurriel making a big fuss about it. I don't see him as that type of personality. He'll be supported, be disappointed, but he'll be supportive if the team wins and the guy's doing his job. So in that respect, I think Gurley is the ultimate team player. And I probably believe Maldonado, although I don't know either guy very well, I suspect they're probably both the same way, because there is good chemistry on that ball club by all accounts. So it will be interesting to see how all this plays out. I mean, the surprising thing about this team is we seem to play to whatever level of the competition. We get up for the Yankees, we get up for the Dodgers, we get up for the really good teams, and boy, we've been totally flat against the poorer teams, the teams not been playing well, a la Boston and the Athletics here recently. So I hope that changes, and that maybe there's not a sense of urgency that these guys have right now, since they do have such a good cushion, but hopefully that changes.
Phil Garner with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Gar, what about, Mancini, you can put him out in left field, even right field too. He's got 180-some starts in left field, 187, I believe, starts in left field. So you could put him out there. What about when Brantley comes back, you're gonna have some issues there. But what about Tucker to center, Brantley in a corner and Mancini in a corner? You're losing a lot of defense. As a manager, how is that something that you would look at?
I would, but Tucker's got to straighten up for me. I've been a fan of Tucker since I went to spring training with AJ Hinson. He was a young pup, and I told AJ I really like this kid. And when I saw him. But he's gotten so pull happy, I might have to take him out of the lineup and put Mancini in for the moment. He's all out of whack right now. And I don't know if these guys have gotten in their head that, they keep hearing this deal that strikeouts and pulling the ball doesn't matter as long as you hit home runs. Well, it does matter when you manage, when you see guys go to the plate who have great capability. Listen, there's one axiom in baseball that will forever be saying: when you hit the ball in the middle of the diamond, you will hit for more power. And when you get pull happy, you lose your power. That's done. You've got to get that in your head. So I'm mad at Tucker right now because I'm a great fan of his, and he's got to get back to the middle of the diamond if he's going to do any good. But in terms of his defense, I don't have a problem putting center field. I think he's an exceptional player. But I also think you got to keep the DH slot open a little bit because you got to rotate Alvarez out of that spot once in a while. For me, Alvarez is playing well in left field, but you want to get him off his feet a couple of times a week and give him that DH slot. So, yeah, I could see a lot of changes happen in the outfield, and I hope you have better intel than I'm. I don't have any intel, but I hope Brantley's going to come back. I keep seeing that they're not sure and they don't know, but we certainly need him.
Oh, absolutely.
That is a concern when you look at if Brantley's out and you've got. I mean, Tucker just came off a 6.21 OPS July. And,
no, he's been awful.
And, you know, Bregman, for as much as he bounced back a little bit, he's still not the same Bregman. You're not scoring runs against the Mariners. You're not scoring runs against the Red Sox. Phil, this is a concern where this offense, the pitching's better than it's been in the past from top to bottom, you know, 1 through 5, and then, of course, your bullpen, I think. But, I mean, it's not a stretch to say this team really scores, really struggles scoring runs relative to other Astro offenses.
I would totally agree with that. I've actually been pleasantly surprised by our pitching from top to bottom this year. It's been much, much better than I thought it was going to be. And what has been disappointing is Bregman for me offensively. He's also lost his way. And it may be that what happens when you lose a Brantley and the team starts not scoring the kind of runs that you think that a player thinks they ought to do, they start trying to put too much on themselves. And typically guys start trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark when that happens, those guys that are capable. And it looks to me like that Bregman's fallen into the same trap as Tucker. Now, Tucker's always been able to go to left center field with some power better than Bregman, although Bregman can hit the ball to right center field. Bregman's more of a pull hitter, but he's gotten to be too much of a pull hitter. He's got to do the same thing Tucker's done. He's got to force himself to go up the middle if he's going to get his old swing back. And what's surprising is players will find out when they do that, when they start taking that approach back through the middle, it's trouble at first, but then they'll start hitting some of the breaking balls out of the ballpark. They'll hit fastball middle of the diamond, and then when the breaking balls come that the pitchers make a little mistake on, they'll hit them out of the ballpark. So that's got to happen, I think, before our whole offense gets back on a click. And it may be one of the reasons we're so streaky right now. You hit a streak in there where if the pitchers aren't making good pitches on you, we're going to wear out because we do have good hitters. We'll wear you out. But if you hit a streak where the last couple of nights we've had some pretty good pitching thrown against us, and they're going to eat you up if you're pull happy. And that's what's happening, in my opinion.
Yeah, man, we see Yordan going the other way all the time for the game winner the other day. He went the other way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good. And Pena went the other way and finally got a base hit, got out of his 0-for-19. Yuli went up the middle last night, got the RBI single. You're absolutely right. But what about, you know, Pena's been struggling mightily, Agar. They moved him out of the two hole. They put Yuli in the two hole. Yuli's hitting now out of the two hole. Is it because he's seeing better pitches with Yordan behind him and Pena's not now?
I think that has something to do with it. It's very subtle, but it very definitely happens. And just look at our lineup right now. Once you get past Bregman, nobody's giving you. Actually, once you get past Yordan, nobody's really putting any fear into anybody. So I think what happens. Pitchers can be cautious, and it doesn't cost them. I mean, I see them pitching around Alvarez a lot, even to get to Bregman. And when you're not putting the ball in play or not putting in play in good areas on the field, you're not instilling fear into the other pitchers. And that's a subtle game within the game, is that when the pitchers start to fear, three, four, five, and six in your lineup, boy, they got a problem. And right now, I don't think they're fearing our four, five, and six. And so these pitchers are making good picks. We'll get it back, I'm pretty sure. I'd just rather see it sooner than later. I don't like to see us losing to Boston, to be honest with you.
No.
That upsets me.
No, we don't need them getting any. No. 847, that's Phil Garner right here on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Gar, always great talking some baseball with you. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it, man.
Good. Enjoyed it, Josh.
Okay. There's Phil Garner right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.
Concept Mayhem, Tony. He said, when the guy who was saddled with Everett Ausmus and pitcher talks about how bad the lower third of the order has been, yikes.
He knows.
That was Phil Garner.
He knows. Time to talk about hoops right now. Pro Dunk Hoops. The best goal you'll ever get, period, exclamation point. It's not even arguable. It is when you go to the website and see for yourself. What you're going to see is a bunch of pictures of the kids that are dunking. Dad, the kids want to dunk. The kids want to enjoy the goal. A 10-foot goal, most of these little kids can't enjoy. They're short. They're non-athletic. They can't jump. None of those things. But they want to have fun, Dad. They want to get outside. The boys and girls, they want to get outside and play. You get their shooting eye. Oh, well, if you lower it, then they won't know how to make 10. Yes, they will. Because now they're little and they can't get the ball and they won't even go out there. But if you lower that goal for them and they start shooting and they start making some, now all of a sudden they're interested. They want to do it all the time. They're outside instead of playing on their Game Boy and their Game Boys inside all day long. Get them outside, Dad. Get them the best goal you'll ever get. The tempered glass backboard, the unrustable stanchion. It's just perfect. The unbreakable rim, and you can raise and lower it. It's the best. ProDunkHoops.com. Tell them you heard it right here. ProDunkHoops.com.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
All my life I want money and power. Respect my mind or die from less shout. I pray get big as the Eiffel Tower so I can f*** the world for 72 hours. Damn,
you are listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. 852 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you want to tell us your brush with greatness, you're more than welcome to do that. Gilbert started it this morning. Went to L.A. when he was 12 years old, and he heard Vin Scully on the radio. So that was his story about Vin Scully, which is awesome. 713-780-3776. We've all had ours. Lamont wants to get in here and talk about the Miami Dolphins. Is this the Virgin, Lamont? Is that who it is?
It's the Big Virgin. It's the Big Virgin.
What up, Big Virgin?
Let's say, man, over the years, I didn't been questioning Lance about this in many different ways, and Lance would always shoot me down. He gave me one sliver of hope. I used to ask Lance, and I got another point after this. I used to ask Lance, is there a possible way that an owner can pay players, a professional owner could pay players under the table? Say, man, sign this contract and go around the back of the Astrodome. And here's a little bag right here for you. We don't got to put this above board. I remember Lance telling me, he said the only situation he can think of was, and this was just a rumor, he was saying Charles Barkley with Les Alexander, and I think
yep.
He was saying that Charles Barkley was still mad about that.
Because he didn't get it.
I don't want to put words in Lance's mouth.
No. Charles claims he didn't get it.
Okay. Yeah, that's why he hates
the Rockets. That's why he hates the Rockets.
Yeah, I say all that to say this. Now we looking at the Miami situation where this owner is actually pretty much trying to get his coach some money under the table. So I ask you again, Lance, is there any possible way an owner could slide somebody money under the table?
No. Well, here's the problem with it. There is taxes. If you got caught doing something like that, the penalty would be so strong. That's tampering. If you circumvented an entire salary cap, the penalty would be enormous. And this is why Daryl Morey, I thought you were going to bring up Daryl Morey, because Daryl Morey is the guy that could be in a lot of trouble for that right now with the Sixers, because the people around the league, look, what we're finding out is people around the league don't care for Daryl Morey, I think. And I think it's because they feel like he tries to circumvent rules. This is not the first time we've heard where teams thought that there was a wink and a nod agreement between Daryl Morey and somebody. The fact that James Harden opted out of a $40-plus million deal and took a 2-year deal that essentially is a pay cut for him, and now they're able to have just enough money to get PJ Tucker signed. There's a belief from NBA general managers at least enough of them that the NBA now is investigating whether or not there is a wink and a nod agreement between the Sixers and James Harden for a future contract where they're gaming the system, which is illegal. Now, what I'm talking about is just playing games and making agreements under the table. What you're talking about is actually paying somebody under the table. I have heard that. Oh boy, I don't know if I think I can put this all out there. Well, I guess there was not enough money. Like, it didn't make sense. I think Clyde Drexler was going to pay, for example, Reed Geddes out of his own pocket. He was going to pay him out of his own pocket because it wouldn't have made sense for the lawyer, Reed Geddes, to become an assistant coach with Clyde Drexler at University of Houston. You can only make a certain amount of money according to the state, at least back then. Now, of course, people make a bunch of money. And so Clyde, I think, was going to take care of Reed out of his own pocket. I don't think that's necessarily illegal. Paying a player under the table, circumventing salary cap, do you think that happens, John?
No.
I don't think it happens.
No, I think that's too
egregious. Because the penalties
would
be so huge. Strong.
No, but I do think like this. I do think this. Like, not that I'm accusing John Elway of this, but you're a superstar on a team, and the owner tells you, I will always take care of you. There will always be a place here for you.
Yeah, that's legal.
That's legal, but it's borderline.
But that's after the plane.
You know, you're always going to be, you know what? You could sign this contract now, but I am always going to take care of you.
But I don't think that's different because what you're talking about is after, right?
After
your career's done, and that's all.
I don't know that you can promise guys stuff while they're playing and take less money on a contract and promise them something later. I think that's pretty much circumventing the rules.
Yeah, but there's no – how's the circumventing when you don't know for sure they're going to get that?
Well,
like, that's really on that person to trust that they will be taken care of. I don't think that's is that really circumventing?
I think
that's not money – that's not guaranteed money in the future.
It's not guaranteed money. No, it's not. No, and you know what? He could screw you, but guess what? He screws you, and you know about that. All right, Delmont, we appreciate it. 713-780-37. Listen, Trey Mancini, and Jackie made a good point. Jackie said yesterday, Trey Mancini said, this left field suits him great. He's not the fastest guy. Smaller left field is perfect, right?
Either is Brantley, either is Yordan.
I'm sure he has played. I don't know how much Baltimore. I don't know if I would have to go back and look and see if he played here in left field while he was with the Orioles, or maybe he just played first base. I don't know, but I'm sure he played in 187 games. As much as they played Boston, I'm sure he played in that left field, and that's a much easier place to play for a guy who's not as fast, especially in left field. And by all accounts, yesterday. Now, we saw Vasquez, and Vasquez doesn't have as great a situation because he's going to have to split time with Maldonado. You just heard Gar say, I'm not sure that Maldonado, Dusty's going to, pull Maldonado out of all of these starts. It'll probably be fewer and far between for Vasquez. But Mancini can play left field, he can play right field, he can play first base, which is something that you really, really need. And he seemed like he was thrilled to be here yesterday.
Seen a lot of guys get traded in my time there, but yesterday I was the guy, so just a lot of excitement and a lot of appreciation for my time there, but more than anything, I'm so excited to be here and to be a part of this team, and I just want to blend in seamlessly, and wherever they need me, I'm going to be there, and I'm just so excited to be here, and I think in the offseason I'll have some more time to reflect on Baltimore, but right now, I'd say it's just more excitement than anything. I've never been in a situation like this late in the season on a first-place team. I've had a lot of respect for the Astros during my playing career, and they've got a great thing going here, so I'm excited to be a part of it.
Of course he's never been in first place this late. He played for Baltimore.
We get the worst sound.
Well, yeah, that was it was bad.
Everything's in a it's like lawnmowers over it, or it's like... or it's in a small tiny closet.
Is that what you took out of that? I understood him perfectly.
I did. It's just
I am thrilled about Mancini being thrilled to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited too, especially after Christian Vasquez, which you understand. And look, if he's going to be a rental piece, then maybe he doesn't get more than three. Who do you think will get more out of the five-man rotation? Do you think they're going to settle into this catcher is for these pitchers and this catcher is for these
pitchers? I think it'll probably be 3-2. And if Vasquez...
Who's three?
Probably Maldonado right now. And Vasquez will get a couple of starts.
The 150 guy.
Yes.
And although the guy who's hitting better right now.
The guy who's hitting better and the guy that everybody knows and the guy that everybody loves. But I think that it could turn into Vasquez 3-2. It'll be interesting to see in the postseason who he starts because he has to have that offense, but he also wants to have Maldonado's defense. If Vasquez catches really well and the guys like throwing to him, I don't see them just kicking Machete to the curb, but I could certainly see where, man, we gotta win. We need the best guy out there, and the best guy might be Vasquez. It just might be. Hitting wise, it definitely is Vasquez. And if they're struggling like this, and you're gonna face better pitching in the postseason, you're gonna face the other team's best.
Mm-hmm.
You better have your best hitters up there.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see how he works this out. But Mancini can be out there without taking Yuli out of the lineup.
He can be. I mean, he can. Unfortunately, that means Michael Brantley's not back.
Or Brantley's back and Mancini, he and Tucker's in center.
Yeah, they could do that.
That's what Gar said. He said, I'd do it. But he said, then he got into his Tucker diatribe about, I'm really disappointed in that guy.
Yeah, Tucker, man, it is crazy to see how Tucker is. Like, Tucker, the perception of Kyle Tucker versus... Yeah. Him hitting 771. Somebody brought that up in direct message, and I'm like, that's true. This is not how we view Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker is viewed as a much better player than a guy who's hitting 771 is from an OPS standpoint. Kyle Tucker had a miserable July.
Yep.
Four home runs. He hit in a 600 OPS range. A miserable OPS July. You start to add up all the pieces, and like, man, it can't just be Altuve, and there's no Brantley since June. It cannot be Altuve and Yordan against the world. Like, you're not going to win that way.
Nope.
You're not going to win at the highest level.
You know, when you do win, though, you celebrate with some tequila.
You do celebrate. Sometime when you're down, you have tequila. When you're up, you have tequila. Sometimes you just have tequila because you want to have something that you enjoy the taste and you love the smoothness of it. I was told by a beverage director on time, smooth is not the way you should describe a tequila. That's too basic because tequilas have different flavor profiles. They have different things that will stand out to your palate. And it really is true, especially with a group like Maestro Dobel, who has so many different tequilas that they make. They put so much time into crafting each and every tequila, the silver, the reposado, the smoked silver, the cristalino, the añejo extra. Every one of these is aged differently. There's different processes. There's different results every single time out. The Diamante, their Cristalino, that's a top-notch tequila for you to enjoy. And, you know, 11 generations of tequila makers in actual Tequila, Mexico, are using pure agave, and they're making something that is just spectacular. Wherever fine liquors are sold, I implore you to grab a bottle of Maestro Dobel, whatever your favorite type of tequila is, and enjoy it for yourself. Maestro Dobel is that top-shelf tequila that you can get for a very reasonable price, and it is going to do the trick every single time. Tastes absolutely wonderful. Maestro Dobel.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5.